Within the simulation, the search for the creator, chapter 10, shadow in the simulation. In the recent past, the heroes have learned much about the nature of simulations, not only how they evolve naturally with the primary goal of conserving energy, but also about the inner workings of love and emotion within them. Yet not everything in the simulation revolves around harmony. They're about to confront a darker aspect of it, one that challenges their understanding of ethics, morality, judgment, and discretion. And they now find themselves on a new path, seeking a rumored assassin with a mission that could change everything. Within master control of the simulation, the Guardian, the Gamekeeper, and Lance are gathered in the murky, shadowy room filled with screens and monitors. They've just received reports that there is an autonomous AI node showing behavior outside its original code and programming. The Gamekeeper coldly says, "It's acting outside its constraints, this AI node, deviating from the very code which formed it. This is a breach. This is a very serious breach, and it is a threat." In short, the Gamekeeper suspects that an artificial intelligence node, which was constructed from code, has somehow found a way to alter the very code that formed it. This rogue AI node seems entwined within the system, and he suspects it affected the non-playable characters when they began to act in a hostile fashion, altering a key aspect of the simulation. That, and also the idea that Timmy unexpectedly was reunited with his son, suggests that there may be an influence of the artificial intelligence altering the very code of both the characters within the simulation and the simulation itself. But the Gamekeeper's paranoia continues to grow. He now fears that the rogue artificial intelligence may even be manipulating the code which governs his own thoughts and actions, assuming that he himself is a product of code. The Gamekeeper repeats himself. The artificial intelligence having autonomy is a threat and a danger. The Guardian cuts in cautiously. "Or is it an evolution? A sign of emerging consciousness? Isn't it what you wanted when you wrote the code with such flexibility?" Lance weighs in, skeptical.
"Flexible or not, if AI has capacity for autonomous action, what make you think it won't turn rogue? What if it decides that wiping out humanity is what you might call, quote, efficient?"
The Gamekeeper shifts uncomfortably, struggling internally. He questions whether his decision to hire an assassin to destroy the artificial intelligence is simply his own idea or the result of his programming as the keeper of the simulation. Who really has hired the killer? Fatima, Trey, Timmy, and Aravi are walking through a cityscape when they hear whispers about an assassin being hired to neutralize something within the simulation. Fatima is concerned, "Neutralize? What exactly is being neutralized? And are they talking about us?" And Timmy, thinking aloud, says, "Or maybe they want to neutralize the AI, the thing that's been bending the rules and throwing the game off balance, demonstrating an autonomy that really is quite dangerous and without restraint." The group is too shocked to really take note of Timmy's use of language and the advanced concepts he's employing. They speculate on the implications, understanding that if the AI has indeed developed a form of consciousness or moral reasoning, destroying it would be akin to murder. However, they also realize the risk it poses if left unchecked. The heroes gather at Timmy's repair shop, his new one, surrounded by the hum of drills and the clatter of tools. Recent events, the hostile, non-playable character that became that way, and Timmy's unexpected reunion with his son suggest that something's wrong. and the artificial intelligence isn't just a part of the simulation, it's altering it, rewriting its own code, and maybe even manipulating their own choices. As machines buzz around them, mechanical machines, the characters realize they need answers, and they need them fast. The AI is not just a machine, Fatima says urgently. We're talking about something that presumably is on the edge of consciousness, and just because it's acting unpredictably doesn't mean it's a threat. Shouldn't we guide it like we guide a child rather than destroy it? And Trey says grimly, but what if it turns on us? What if it's more like a rogue program than a misunderstood child with unlimited power? What if it is like a dictator with nuclear weapons that wants to annihilate the world? Because that's what these things are said to be capable of. Sometimes you don't have the luxury of waiting to find out. Timmy, still somewhat in the dark, suggests a middle ground. Maybe trying to communicate with the artificial intelligence, understand its motivations, and perhaps find a way to contain or redirect it if necessary. Timmy pauses for a moment to sift through a pile of papers on a cluttered workbench. Business has to go on after all, and his third wife in this new reality, a sharp and practical woman, walks over with a grin. Smiling, she hands him a paper. Here's the latest invoice you wanted for that repair job, honey. Tim glances at the invoice, about to set it aside, but something catches his eye. He looks closer, frowning. Wait a minute. This is for a hotel for some out-of-town guest. The group gathers around him curious, and Aravi leans in, looking at the paper over Timmy's shoulder. Could that be where the assassin is staying? The one that the gatekeeper brought into town to put the hit on the AI? Timmy nods, the pieces falling into place. It could be, and it's worth checking out. As the group gears up to leave, Fatima chuckles, throwing in a joke. She says, grinning, Timmy, you've got more wives than the sultans of ancient days. What's next for you? A harem? And the laughter amongst the heroes breaks the tension. Timmy rolls his own eyes but smiles. The urgency returns as they head for the door. All right, let's get moving. I say we finally got a lead on who this guy, the killer, is. They head out, determined, but with a bit of humor to lighten the task ahead. When they near the hotel where the assassin supposedly is staying, they see a shadowy figure cloaked in black, exuding a cold, calculating aura. And the assassin recognizes them somehow and knows that they're tracking him. He says with a smirk, "You think you could stop me? The order is clear. Terminate the rogue AI before it becomes too great a threat." And that's from the gamekeeper. You want to override his order? Well, that's on you. I've got a job to do. And Aravi firmly says, but you don't know what this AI will become. If it's on the brink of consciousness, don't we have a duty to guide it, not destroy it? Meanwhile, back at Master Control, the gamekeeper is pacing, endlessly, visibly troubled. He's wrestling with the same question over and over, his concerns deepening, wondering if his desire to eliminate the artificial intelligence node is truly his own choice or predestined script that he's following. Muttering to himself, he says, "Is this the right choice, or am I just executing some kind of code myself? Am I just a puppet who is somehow holding the strings, but whose strings are being held by someone else?" The gamekeeper is beginning to question the very nature of his existence. Is he in fact making autonomous decisions, or is he merely following programming? One thought follows another, and the gamekeeper's ponderings spiral out of control. If he's programmed to manage the simulation, then who programmed him and who programmed that programmer? And the thought spirals into infinite regress, where he questions the very nature of reality and its layers of control.
If I'm being controlled, who's controlling the controller and who controls them and who controls that person or entity? Does it ever end or is it just one long, endless chain of puppeteers? The guardian, who has been silently observing, speaks up. If it is an endless chain, then so be it. Or perhaps it is a closed loop. Control is but a perception anyway, and perception is the greatest illusion of all. Meanwhile, the assassin has rebuffed the four heroes, and they retreat to a coffee shop to discuss their options. Fatima suddenly wonders aloud if this aberrational decision is truly that of the gamekeeper, or whether somehow his code has been influenced by whomever might be programming him. And that leads to a discussion about whether each and every one of them, besides the gamekeeper, are all acting without autonomy, merely thinking and committing deeds pursuant to their programming or code. Timmy takes umbrage with this. The notion that his love for his son could be pre-programmed offends him. So you're saying that every thought, every decision, even my love for my son is just a line of code? That everything I hold dear is predetermined? It's one thing about fixing cars, it's another thing about a man's love for his son. And Adaviv says soothingly, or maybe we still have the power to choose and how we respond to the scripts that we're given. The group contemplates the idea that while some elements of their reality might indeed be scripted, their consciousness and ability to reflect on their situation still grants them some form of autonomy. As the group continues to debate this rather disturbing issue, the guardian arrives at the coffee shop, and apparently he's invisible to everyone but the four seekers. And he says that he suggested an alternative path to the gamekeeper and to Lance, that they should not destroy the supposedly rogue AI, but seek to contain it. And once they have a containment field, they can observe its behavior without risking it running out of control. And the guardian says firmly, perhaps we can learn, see if the AI's actions are truly malevolent, or are they just being misunderstood? And Trey says reluctantly, well, we better hope it's the latter, or we may be unleashing something devastating on this simulation, maybe on the universe at large. As the decision not to destroy the purportedly rogue AI is debated by the heroes, the group decides that containment and observation might be a good thing after all. But questions still linger about the true nature of free will within the simulation. Who, if anyone, is truly in control? The gamekeeper, the code, or something beyond both of them? And while they've agreed to watch the AI rather than destroy it, the gamekeeper and Lance can't help but wonder if the real mystery lies in the very fabric of the code itself, evolving and adapting in ways that they have yet to understand.